This episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. Coming up on TMS, how do you want to go?
Sit on this, tough guy.
Can you hear me now?
Look at the size of that bird.
Burger King has a penny for your thoughts.
Tom's Tech Time and Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It doesn't always take gasoline to make fire dangerous. With know-how, you can burn fires. With carelessness, fires will burn you.
You've got yourself a $50 a day habit. You can't support that slinging hash.
The Morning Stream. I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is TMS, and welcome back the Bo Schwartz the intro song there. It's pretty good to hear that again, isn't it? You know, that's him
and
on guitar.
It kind of eases into like a Guns N' Roses groove right
there.
Oh, it's
very Guns N' Roses. That's a good combo.
Y'all listening to the Morning Stream.
I saw a picture of him the other day. He scares me now. He gives Axl Rose gives me the willies now. I don't know why. Here, look at this.
Axl Rose 2018.
Yeah, there's something going on there, and it's not just age. It's something else. Hold on, let's find a good one here. I can't find the one that freaked me out. He actually looks okay in most of these.
It is, yeah, it's funny. Like the top couple rows, it's like he's
just gotten a little lumpy. It's fine. We all have.
But he looks better than he used to. Oh yeah, here's one where he looks like Catherine.
Catherine who? Heigl? Where are we going?
No.
Hepburn? Hepburn? No?
No.
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Zeta-Jones then.
Zeta Heat. No, not Beta Jones.
No.
Or Zeta-Jones.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Kathleen Turner.
Turner. Yes. That's it.
All right. I've been copied. Here, tell me that he kind of doesn't look like Kathleen Turner. Here.
Okay. Wait,
let
where are you?
Put it in the chat room.
Yeah, put it in the chat. Chat's a good place for it. All right, let's take a look. Chat room's so active today. You're making everything scroll past. All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, he totally does. Like pissed off. Where's the stone? I've been romancing it all afternoon.
Exactly. Yeah. Michael Douglas, get out of my dress.
Yeah, get out of my dress, Michael Douglas. Why is Danny DeVito here? That also is our total, the extent of our knowledge of romancing the stone. That's all we know about it.
That's all we know. Until we watch it for film sec, that's all we know.
Yep. Or did we? Did we? We didn't. No, we
have
didn't.
Have we done...
We might have. I don't remember. We might have. Did we do it in chat room? You know, you can tell us. I can actually search for it in the RSS, but we may have. I don't know. We've done a lot of shows now. It's hard to kind of keep track of what's going on.
We have not done Romancing the Stone.
Okay. So Stone. The closest we have to that is State of the Union, which for some reason has the word stone in the description. Or Flintstones, Viva Rock Vegas. Those are the closest
stones. So we haven't done Jewel of the Nile, which if we were going to do either of the two of those, I think Jewel of the Nile is easily the lesser.
Oh yeah, the sequel wasn't good, right? I don't remember it being.
Yeah.
I forgot they even did one.
Or War of the Roses. I mean was that just the three movies that Douglas and Turner did together?
Yeah, War of the Roses. What was the terrible, awful people one? Was that them or is that somebody else?
Ruthless People?
Ruthless People.
No. That was Helen Slater, Judge Reinhold, Danny DeVito. Maybe that's probably what you're thinking of. Danny DeVito and Bette Midler were the, I think, husband and wife.
Wait, you're right. Bette Midler, but not Danny DeVito was the wife or the husband. I mean,
the husband. Yeah,
he was the pitcher.
And she gets kidnapped, and he's like, "Yeah, cool, keep her."
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember that movie at all.
And Helen Slater and Judge Reinhold are the kidnappers, and they. They want to get rid of her too because she's annoying and
yeah, it's good stuff.
But, yeah,
quality entertainment. We should refamiliarize ourselves with terrible 80s movies.
We should. It's the secret of our success, Scott.
Indeed. Hey, I see what you did there. Look at this, everybody. It's December 5th, 2018. It's me and Brian, and we're here to do another morning stream. If you're new to the program, that whole little thing we just did is very emblematic of how the rest of the show goes. So enjoy our little Pumbaa moments as they come. You're like, Pumbaa moment. What does that mean? Hey, you'd have to go dig through the archives to find out for yourself. So good luck to you. I got a thing to bring up real quick this morning before we get to these emails that we're going to start the show off with. Brian, have you ever had a conversation with somebody who's like a real hardcore anti-vaxxer? People who think vaccines are making everybody sick or giving the autism and the whatnot. Have you had one of those?
No, I don't. If I know anybody like that, they haven't come out of the vaxxer closet, the anti-vaxxer closet.
So I just want to say for the record, and this is all I'm going to say about it. I don't have any personal judgment for anybody because I don't know them, but it's an impossible conversation. You can't actually get anywhere with it. It's like any of those conversations. If you are a Holocaust denier and you're really digging deep on it and you want to come talk to me about it, what can I say? I can't say anything. So if the person I had the exchange with on Twitter today is listening, I just want you to know I don't even know who you are, and I feel for any plight you might be experiencing yourself. I don't know what to tell you though. I can't help you if you're if it's all one big conspiracy. I can't prove a negative. Isn't that what people say? You can't prove a negative.
That is right, exactly. And that is the thing. I mean, it's like fighting with somebody over it's not like fighting because they're scientific.
There's not an opinion.
It's not like somebody saying, Mad Max Fury Road was kind of a bad movie.
Right.
And you're like, no, what are you talking about? No, you're nuts. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's a different thing. Exactly.
But that is. That's all opinion.
So that's purely subjective, right? Objective opinion comes from seeing evidence of something and then talking about it.
Right.
So when I say, well, here's the evidence of all the stuff showing that vaccinations are not causing autism, and they come back and say, well, that's just what Big Pharma wants you to believe.
That is the thing, right? It's always that there is a bigger agency or group that has absolute and total control. Over what information you're given. Like NASA apparently has been hiding the fact that the Earth is flat. It's really NASA is the whole reason that all of us sheeple out here think that the world is round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I say, well, no, here's all the evidence, the actual evidence that it isn't, they just go, no, that's just what big space wants you to believe. Like it's always the same answer. The freaking Holocaust deniers, if it's freaking moon landing people, if it's freaking 9/11 was an inside job people.
I took a flight from Australia to California, and it was a lot shorter than if I had to go across Asia and Africa.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, freaking flat earthers. Those are the ones that really boggle me because actually I think they're just trolling us, honestly. You know what they remind me of?
I think that probably about a third of them. Mm-hmm. Are.
Yeah, like the Church of Satan stuff we went through a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're just trolling Christians.
We don't really believe that Satan's great. We just want to kind of poke holes in this, ideology that that God is awesome and Jesus is the bomb.
Yeah, is the bomb. it's my favorite saying in most church windows, Jesus is the bomb.
Jesus is the bomb.
It's real good. All right. We are going to dive into these emails because we also had not a completely unrelated question come up on the show about cremation versus coffin. People desiring where they want to go when they die. And so we got some replies from people. I had said, and I think you did too, we're totally cool with cremation. We don't care. Like, just take my ashes. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a big ceremony around it, fine. You want to bury him and mark the grave, fine. Do whatever you want. I do want him on old people's brownies, but this is a problem with me.
Yeah. It also becomes a problem for those old people, but yes.
Well, they've lived there. They've had a good long run, you know? Like, what's
you're talking about a small enough amount, kind of like the amount of blood that Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley put in that comic book.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like
everybody
that trace amount. Yeah.
It's almost untraceable, right? Like to pull DNA off those comics now, I think is impossible because there was so little of their blood in there. But the idea that it was mixed in with the ink was this really compelling thing. Yes, I would approach the brownies with the same thing. I don't want them to taste terrible and seem like they're full of dirt and dust. I want them to just have a pinch of me per brownie. Let's say batch of 50 brownies. A little pinch of me per brownie, that's probably a little bowl of this much. It's not very much. Just a pinch.
Betty Crocker says, just a pinch of Scott Johnson in every brownie.
You know, I'd watch that cooking show on Food Network. I'd watch them try to do that.
Yeah.
Mary Berry would say it's a lovely sponge when she tasted me.
Oh, by the way, and I know we're knee deep into the middle of this Coffin versus Cremate discussion, but I did watch both of the Christmas specials last night.
Oh.
Great British Bake Off.
Yeah, what'd you think?
We completely picked the winner of the first one just as soon as the four people came out.
Yeah.
And we did not pick the winner of the second one, although I disagree with their
Oh, you don't like the judgment.
Their choices.
So hold on.
I think he was great.
Are you saying you picked you're saying you picked them as they came out, you predicted which one would win?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Mm. Just based on remembering how they did the first time around and what their strengths are.
Very interesting.
But I gotta say, man, Noel totally is growing on me.
Yeah.
I'm loving him
he's great. I think he's awesome. The little lady he was with was the thing I had concerns about because not because she's a lady or little. I just don't know anything about her, and I wasn't sure how she would jive with this goofy, lanky, you know, goofball comedian. And it's a really funny combination. It's good.
They really are. Yeah, they're really good together. And I'm loving, you know what, as much as I miss Mary Berry, Prue again also totally.
Yeah, Prue's
totally
fine.
Growing on me.
Yeah, I was worried about Mary Berry. Like, she might float away. Someone would blow. Like, they just finish a cake.
They
had
to open their oven slowly on that show because a good big gust of hot wind from your oven would topple Mary Berry over into a pile of strawberries and caster's sugar.
Talking about people's ashes in your brownies. That's what you get there. But anyway, feed the old people with my brownies. A pinch per brownie is totally fine. But here's the deal with the coffin versus cremate. Justin wrote in and said, I'd like to chime in and give you my non-religious reasons for not wanting to be cremated. This is just what I was looking for. I also do not want to be buried in a traditional box that never degrades. If possible, I'd like to be put in a wooden coffin that will slowly degrade and let the earth and its creatures reclaim me. Become part of the earth again naturally. I don't like the idea of burning up and floating off, even though I know it's the same result as my wants. I'm not sure what that means.
He basically saying, well, all right, if I'm turned into ash and put in the ground, then that's also returning me to let the nutrients of my ashes feed the ground and the creatures who live in it.
Okay, I get it.
So the same end results is what he wants.
Oh, okay. So I also want to avoid as much of the chemical preservation they pump into you as I can, but I have not really dove that deep into learning about it yet. So that's my reasoning. Not flashy, just a different point of view, Justin. No, I totally get that. I like the idea.
Oh, I hate the taste of embalming fluid. If there's one thing in this life, and boy, do I meant to use that phrase. If there's one thing in this life you don't have to worry about, it's the taste of embalming fluid.
That's
like what it's going to be like.
Yeah. I wonder if a mortician goes in there and just tastes it and just sees what it's like.
But I'm sure they've inadvertently, accidentally had, you know, some spray in their face from something.
A little splash going on, yeah.
Like overfilled the Kenderson woman with embalming fluid and she had an open sore in it.
You leaned on her a little too hard and it came
shooting
out of her nostril right into your mouth. That's a good thought. Anyway, Justin makes a good point. I think what he means by the chemical thing is he doesn't want to be full of crap that doesn't degrade well or, you know, adds to chemical grossness to the planet. I get that. This is a good hippie stance. I like it.
What about the Spock method? What about just wrapping you up like a mummy, shoving you in an eyeglass case and firing you at the closest star?
I'd be down with it.
Well, or in this case, firing, you know, Spock at the closest planet with the Genesis.
Yeah, it was the Genesis planet, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but
I'd do that, and then I could go through puberty in like 2 seconds or whatever it was. What was the deal there? He was screaming, going, puberty,
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have the search for Scott going on at any time. But, I mean, it's going to be that first part, just, you know, basically firing your butt into the sun.
Yeah.
Then you get your instant cremation.
Yeah, I'd be totally down with that. And you can fill me full of chemicals then, because who cares? The sun's going to take care of all of it.
Oh, yeah, like fill you full of chemicals like in the in Duraflame logs that make the flames turn different colors.
Oh.
So the
That's a great idea.
If you have a high enough powered telescope, you can watch your body burn up. It'll be green and blue and
Done. This is a great idea. I love this. We got another follow-up from Dean. He's one of the handsome brothers from Paranormal Activity, or whatever that show's called.
What's it called? He's dreamy.
What's that show called? Not Paranormal Activity. It's called
Supernatural.
Supernatural Activity.
Paranatural is my favorite CW show.
He says, "Dear Soot and Brimstone." See what he did? Soot and Brimstone, talking about cremations. Pretty good.
Burning and ashes and all that
not
stuff.
Bad. Dean says, "When you guys were discussing why people would prefer burial to cremation, I heard you mention that maybe they had objections on religious grounds. That may be very real and be the case, but as far as I know, that kind of objection doesn't really have any grounds in Christian doctrine. At the end of days, when Jesus returns and resurrects the dead, he will do so by his own divine omnipotence. The Bible says the dead will be given new restored bodies. Hence, the condition of the bodies prior to that is irrelevant.
And they shall be grateful."
Yes, they shall be. It sort of boils down to this question. Quote, "If God is powerful enough to create the entire universe out of nothing, how hard would it be to make a new body for a dead person? Or to put it into nerdy terms, it's more like the true resurrection than the raise the dead spell in D&D. You don't need any body parts, just a name. Glad I could put some of that knowledge I gained into theology class to use. Thanks, love the show, Dean." Well, thank you, Dean. Perfect. That's a great perspective there. Yeah, just what I was looking for. If you guys have continuing thoughts about this whole cremation versus burial and you want to pipe in on this or any other issues we talk on the show about, except the vax thing, no, you can't win. Don't tell me how flat the earth is or that NASA's hiding it or that there was no whatever. I can't win those arguments. I'll respect your opinion. Go over there. It's actually really hard to respect it, so it's a different word. I acknowledge that you have the right to think whatever you want, and then go do that, and I'll be over here doing my thing, and everyone will be great. All right.
Very good. Yes.
All right. We're going to done away.
I'm looking forward to this new body I might get.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm stoked, dude. That'll be great. I can get rid of the stupid mole.
Was there a movie where somebody died, they were brought back into a different body, and they had to convince the person?
You're not thinking of that Black Mirror episode where Doomhall Gleason or whatever his name was a robot version of himself? No? I love that one.
No. It was a movie.
That's my favorite one, by the way, of all the Black
Mirrors. Down to Earth, was that it? Yeah.
Was that it? Down to Earth, says the chat.
Down to Earth. Did that have Michael J. Fox, or am I? I'm totally remembering something else.
I don't know. Christian heaven involves all of all earthly memories and relations to the whole I'll see you again, Martha stuff is a load of bunk. I can't read the chat today. You guys are weird. All right, here's this. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, check it out. It's time for us to play a little Battle Royale with our wonderful guest contestant. His name is Brian Dunaway. He's on the phone right now. Hi, Brian.
Wait, I'm a guest contestant.
You're
now.
A guest.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hi. You want a better title? Give me one. What do you think? What do you like? What do you like to be?
How about at least put special on the front of that?
Okay. I can do well. I mean, it's not special because you do it twice a week already, so you're usual. But we also want to make it special, so I don't know how to do that. What do you think? How do you handle it? What do you do?
Featuring Brian Dunaway.
There you go. Featuring Brian Dunaway. I like it.
Got a dream big.
You'll be a feat, as we see on iTunes all the time. Feet.
That's
feet
correct.
Brian Dunaway. By the way, heaven can wait. Big thanks to Anna Krakatau, Evan the attorney. A bunch of people reminded me that Heaven Can Wait is the movie where. So Warren Beatty has to come. He gets not resurrected, but he dies too soon, dies when they weren't expecting to die.
Yeah.
And he gets to pick from a few different bodies to come back in. And he comes back as this rich dude who I think was Charles Grodin.
Charles Grodin is correct. Charles Grodin.
Was it Charles Grodin?
Yep.
And then he has to convince his old coach that it's him. Mm. And that's totally what I was
remembering. I remember that
movie.
Why is
it not Warren Beatty? Why is it Warren Beatty?
Beatty. I don't know.
That's a good question.
Who knows? Oh, we got a call. Should we take this one?
Let's take this one.
Yeah, I think we're gonna take this one. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
It's Clacky D in Des Moines.
Clacky D.
Clacky D.
Gotta put that D. I love that name, Clacky D.
Too far.
Is it too far? All right.
Roll it back.
we do that on my Heroes of the Storm show because the D is the thing you use a lot for some of your characters. Like it's
hey,
a special
hey,
button.
I know what the D is used for.
Yeah. So we always say you got to get that D. So Clacky D, it's good to have you here. And Brian will now explain to you and us what you could win and how you'll do it. Brian?
Correct. Clacky D, I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic. They're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, they take too long to come up with an answer, the win is going to go to the other player. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on today's topic. Today, oh, dude, you are playing for a killer prize package. Tea, that's right, tea, courtesy of the Phoenix Pearl Tea Shop in Montana. Thank you, Gwendolyn, for those prizes.
Specifically, by the way, it's Wicker Man Toasted Cream Pumpkin, specifically.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bees! Ooh. Yep. Got bees!
Bees! Bees! Not bees! Anyway, so there's that.
That, and a copy of Let's Go Eevee on the Switch. You know, that's that hot new game that everybody's playing. It's all Pokemon all the time. It is Let's Go Eevee.
Pokemon Let's Go Eevee in its wrapping, totally unopened, courtesy of... Oh, shoot.
Ooh, Tanner Goodman.
Tanner Goodman. Salem. Thank you. Tanner Goodman sent this in. Very kind of him to do this. He also sent me a copy. He's being extremely generous, this guy.
Super
and we,
nice.
We owe him big time. So this could be yours if you win today. Brian, what's the topic?
Correct. The topic is, this one comes to us from TMS Mashups, Jamie. The top actresses from 2017 based on the amount of money that they are paid for their roles.
Oh,
so
my gosh,
highest paid actresses of 2017. This is an annual list that Forbes comes out with. And we haven't yet gotten the 2018 list, of course, because it's still 2018 and somebody could slip in there. Mm. But for 2017, I want to know the top money-making women of the acting world.
Okay.
Acting world.
And this is 2017's list?
2017, yes.
Because we don't know 2018's till it's over. That makes sense.
Correct.
All right. Clacky D, who do you think's going to win and who do you want to start?
I think I usually go with Brian. And you can start.
All right. I'll be happy to start. And Brian, I hope you win, but I'm going to try real hard. Okay?
All right.
I'm going to say that she seemed like she was always on this list or has been since... for a long time, since Bridesmaids, probably. So I'm going to say Melissa McCarthy.
Okay, and by the way, I'm looking for the top 10 because that's all that Forbes gave me. So top 10.
Okay.
Melissa McCarthy, number 4 on that list with $18 million for 2017.
All right, good.
Interesting. All right, she's always up there.
She's always up there.
Am I lagging out?
Now you're back. You're back. Yeah. You disappeared for
a
second.
Is that better?
Yeah, you're good. What was the name you gave?
Oh, I gave the right answer. Oh. Didn't hear it?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, she's always at the top. She's been there for quite a while now. It's got to be Scarlett Johansson.
Mm.
Scarlett Johansson.
Is she up there?
It's over.
Oh,
just like that.
Man. It's not
in 2017, she is not one of the top paid actresses.
No. No. She is the only thing I can think of. In 2017 was that Ghost in the Shell thing, right? Did she do anything else?
Not really. Well, Avengers.
Was she in any Avengers movies anything?
That was this year.
That was this year. 2018.
Yeah.
There's no way she wasn't the top paid actress. Should have
gone with the Johnson. Should have gone with the Johnson. Sorry, Clacky D. You lose.
Oh, no.
It's all right.
I'm just curious. What else did she have in 2017? Because that... it can't be the only thing. Let's see here. Rough Night and Ghost in the Shell. Those are the only two things she did for 2017.
Wow,
she
had really?
Little time off. Can I make some guesses as to
Please
the others?
Do,
and
yeah.
Brian can
yeah.
as well. But I want to know. I mean, I was going to hold it as like a possibility till later. But I want to say that Julia Roberts has never left this list for a couple of
for
decades
every
now.
Year?
Now, mm-hmm. I know she's not doing as much these days, but I'm curious if she's even anywhere near this thing now.
She's edging towards the bottom, though. Number 9 with $12 million for Julia Roberts.
But she's on there. I would have gotten it. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
How about
any other guesses? This is fun.
Wonder Woman's Gal Gadot or Gadot.
No, not even on the list.
Oh. Did she have, when was, oh, her movie was 2016.
2016, yeah.
2016, yeah.
Damn it. And that may not even been top 10. I don't know. Oh, Kate Blanchett. Right. How about that?
Number 8, also with $12 million.
Okay. Mm.
This was going to end quickly either way, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it was.
I don't know. Do you have any, what would have been your second guess, Brian?
Mila Kunis? I don't know. I'm just...
Number five.
Well, what?
$15.5 million.
Right. Very active people.
Is Reese Witherbone or Witherbone?
No,
her name?
She hadn't made movie forever.
Reese Wither. No. What is it? Wither Spoon. Spoon.
Yeah.
Not bone. Witherbone. Reese Witherbone. Did she make it or no?
Yeah. No, Reese Witherspoon.
Okay. I'm running out.
Guess people with the first name Jennifer.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer
Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Yeah, number three with 24 million.
That was going to be my second pick, but.
I almost said Lopez. Not so she's not on there anymore, right?
No, she's not on there, but Aniston is still number two, $25.5
really?
Million.
Jennifer yeah. Aniston is still number two?
What did she make in 2017?
Let's take a look.
Don't tell David Schwimmer. He'll just shit his pants. Oh.
He will turn into that guy who robbed a liquor store in the UK. what did she do in 2017? I'll tell you, she did something called The Yellow Birds, playing a character named Maureen Murphy, and apparently made $25.5 million for it.
Overpaid for that.
That's ridiculous. I mean,
I've never even heard of that movie, unless she was paid for something else.
Maybe she's
commercials or something.
Does it count if she's got like a production company and that's making money or something?
Oh,
or,
maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I wonder if that's it. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us the rest then. I can't think of it
all
anymore.
Right. Number one is your Emma Stone.
Oh, yeah. Emma Stone. Really?
Emma Stone, $26 million. Then Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lawrence, Melissa McCarthy, Mila Kunis, Emma Watson with $14 million, Charlize Theron.
Oh.
And Kate Blanchett, Julie Roberts, rounding out the top 10, Amy Adams, who I totally expected would have been way higher on this list.
Oh, yeah.
Tenth place with $11.5 million.
She's in so many things, too. I would have also said that. Even last year, yeah. I think she was in at least two or three big things.
Yeah.
Plus, they're all doing TV stuff now. And, like, Julie Roberts has that new show on Amazon Prime that's supposed to be awesome. My daughter watched it and loved it. She's like, Dad, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. So apparently that's real good. Like Twin Peaks good. I don't know.
Wow.
Sounds like something even Brian would like. yeah. Well, there you have it then. I feel like a huge winner today. And Brian, man, did you suck it up on this one. Wasn't this a bummer?
Yeah, I sucked it up. Well, yeah. I mean, it made sense in my head.
You know, there are things that make sense in my head that are going to get me arrested one day. Anyway, hey. let's do this again real soon. In fact, Monday, I think it'd be a good time for it. I hope Brian Dunaway is enjoying his holidays. Are you so far? You good? You getting a chance to settle down a little bit, enjoy the season, play a little Christmas music, all that?
Heck yeah, I've been playing the Christmas music. No slowing down though, but, we got a tree last night. Looking forward to the cats, knocking it over today.
Yeah. And, as they do. Cats are the best.
They do. It's what they do.
Stay out of trouble. Have a fun day at work.
Get away from there.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Emma Watson, because of that Beauty and the Beast live action thing, that was the second biggest
Emma Watson
grossing movie of 2017.
Is that Emma? Is that
Emma Watson?
Watson.
That was Emma Watson.
Wait a minute.
Hermione.
Hermione's name is Emma Watson. Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Derp. I wonder if what are the rest of her Harry Potter people are doing as well. I don't think Rupert Grint is pulling down that kind of scratch.
He's got this new thing on Netflix that I see every time I launch Netflix called Sick Note.
Yeah, saw that.
And which looks really funny. It's got the other dude from the, Nick Frost?
From all the other movies.
Right. Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead and that. Well, I can't think of, I can never think of what's his name's name. Who plays Scotty, who's in Mission Impossible movies.
I know, right?
I always do this. Yeah. And I know him and I love him and I'll see anything he's in. I love Spaces. I love everything he does. What is wrong with my brain, though?
Simon Pegg.
Simon
Thank
freaking
Simon Pegg.
Pegg.
I don't know why we can't come up with that. It's a weird brain fart that I get to, and I don't know why I get that as well.
I never
But here's
forget.
The weird thing.
Yeah.
It always looks like Lindsay Lohan being shown in the static ad for that Sick Note thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it
I
looks
agree.
Like right. You got Nick Frost, you got Rupert Grint, and then you've got Lindsay Lohan. And we looked at the trailers, like, okay, I don't see Lindsay Lohan. I don't actually see another woman who looks like Lindsay Lohan that would be. It's like she photobombed the movie poster.
Maybe she just got a little bit part and they thought it would be smart to PR it, but
maybe.
I don't know. Because she hasn't been working a lot. People get mad at her. She's like hard to work with, I guess, and stuff.
Yeah. She's listed as in the cast. She gets first listing for Sick Note on IMDb. Lindsay Lohan, Rupert Grint, Nick Frost. But she does not appear in the trailer at all.
Is it a TV show or a movie?
It's a series.
It's a series. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I may have to check it out.
Yeah. People are saying it's good. Mm. And it looks really funny. The concept seems really funny.
What annoys me. Oh, she's in season two, but not in season one. Maybe that's why.
Oh, okay. Maybe
so this is a British thing, I'll bet. Coming over.
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
What was I going to say? Oh, the thing that annoys me the most about her, about Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that she's
and stuff she was
yeah
and
how good she is and how yeah. crap how she freaking dumped all that to be a bumhole like yeah. She's so freaking talented and it pisses me off when people throw that stuff away anyway whatever
yeah.
I don't know her life I don't know what's going on I can't judge but that is how it is. Here's this
is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
All right, the news today is brought to you by this file I'm going to play.
Play it, play it.
I'm going to play it if I can find where I put it. Oh, here it is. Okay, check this out. This was sent to us by these guys, and we want to give them a little shout out. Here you go.
No pretensions, no exclusions, no filter.
We may use some adult language.
Oh, my.
Get your geek on with these lead ladies.
9 of 12.
True noob. The gen.
The podcast about geeky things with hosts who aren't afraid to get technical.
Collect the who's a what's it to put in your swizzle sticks to take to the guy, and then he's going to give you some pants.
Yay, pants.
Subscribe now at geekgrills.com.
Come hang out with us live
at twitch.tv/geekgrills.
Oh, nice. That was so in tune, Ember.
Apparently, they wanted me to make sure to mention it's on Tuesdays now. They were going to do a different day, but now, and so just tune in and they'll tell you. Well, there you go. That sounds like fun. Sounds like a fun time.
I don't know. I'm expecting a cease and desist from Nicole because they use the term elite ladies.
Yeah, it's not, I heard that.
Mm. Mm.
It's very radio produced, that thing.
It really was. It sounded great.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it. A 300. Well, it's not that big, actually. 300-pound woman. What's her power, Brian?
This is Sparta.
Well, it sounds like we're about to hear what her power is.
Yeah,
honestly.
We actually will hear. She has pled guilty to killing her 120-pound boyfriend by sitting on him. Well, this isn't very nice now, is it?
No.
300-pound Pennsylvania woman was killed her boyfriend by hitting him with a table leg, then sitting on him. Well, did she get him with the table leg or sit on him?
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those stories.
It says right here, she killed her boyfriend by hitting him with a table leg.
And sitting on him.
Oh, so is the combo. Okay.
Okay. And this says
finishing move.
Finish him.
Wendy Thomas. Her name is Windi. That's a new spelling for that.
Windy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Windy Thomas. Everyone says it's Windy. Who kills a guy with a table leg? This is awful. This guy died. I feel bad. All right.
That's true. Yeah, good point. Yeah,
it's pretty funny, though. Anyway, I don't feel too bad after you hear this description. But anyway, Wendy Thomas allegedly told police that she had been drinking and craving crack cocaine when she smothered her 120-pound boyfriend named Keno Butler during an altercation.
Keno and Wendy.
Yeah, Keno and Wendy.
Where did I wish we could have gotten the wedding napkins.
Yeah, that would have been good. The cause of death was respiratory insufficiency secondary to blunt force trauma to the neck and thoracic compression exacerbated by blunt force trauma to the head, unquote. Pretty good.
Whew.
You guys
nicely done, Scott.
Thank you.
Stuck the landing.
Dr. Johnson over here. Let's see.
Sitting on her crack addict boyfriend. Everyone knows it's Windy.
That's great.
Windy has table legs that she uses to beat. All right, yeah, it's getting worse. It's really, yeah.
It's funny, though. As Homer says, it's funny because I don't know him. That's what Homer said. That always stuck with me. Anyway, that's a bad deal. That all went bad. She sat on him and that's how he died. Imagine dying that way, though, being smothered by somebody else's butt.
Yeah,
that's not how I want to go. Like, I want to go, you know how I want to go. This is what I want to do. When I'm like 80 and they go, I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson, but you've got incurable freaking, wiener warts or whatever it is. You got something, you got something that's going to kill you in four weeks. Sorry, sure. You've lived a long life. Good job. I am getting on a plane and I am jumping off with no chute. That's how I want to go. I don't want some miserable in bed. Somebody's got to change a bedpan and freaking wipe my butt finishing move to my life. I just want to go into a canyon.
Into a canyon or right into a human-sized easy bake oven.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I'll take it. I'll take whatever. But I don't want people on my butt or on my face killing me with their butt.
Oops, sorry, Daisy. Daisy, lie down. Lie down, Daisy.
Is that your dog?
Yeah, she's like, she's a little needy right now because Tina left to go take care of some appointment or something, and she's basically underfoot. And I move back and forth. You know, I'm constantly shifting position.
Yeah.
I'm a standing desk. I'm on my soft foot pad thing here, and I accidentally stepped on her because she's like standing right next to me, like, "Hi, I'm here."
Just, you know. Yeah. Needy dogs. I've had a bit of that in the last couple of days. I can't get my our newer dog Boomer to stop. If there's a fresh cat poo to be had, she'll eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you dealt with this. What did you end up doing?
Still deal with it. There's all you can do is just try and be on top of it when the cat takes a dump. Maybe you phrase that a different way. Try and.
Oh, I know. No. Here's what you do. And this is what we try to do is when she goes, Kim will be like, "All right, get the bag. Let's go. Let's get it." And they get it early. Yeah. So the dog doesn't get it. Now, that's one way. But I was thinking, why don't we get one of those weird, they have to go inside of like a labyrinth style entrance into a thing. Doesn't that help?
Yeah. If your cat's used to that, like you get them used to it right away. Or even one that's got kind of like a door enclosure or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, I guess it depends on how big your dog is and if they can get into that. But
yeah, she's getting to that size. I think we probably could keep her out that way. I don't know. I have to look at it. But she comes out of there yesterday with the cat litter on her nose.
The clumping litter stuck to her face.
Yeah, and going. I'm like, oh, freaking dog, dude! Don't come near me! Don't lick me! Don't breathe on me!
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. So gross. Anyway, let's talk about ants and people's ears. This is going to be a good one, chat. You guys are going to enjoy this one.
Oh, jeez. I'm already.
I had a friend who had, I told you about this, I think, the one that had the roach crawl into his bum and set up a little nest in there, and they had to do all kinds of weird exploratory surgery to get it out of there.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
I thought I told you about that.
Done. I mean, yeah, you've told me about that. Hard pass. Done.
Old Mississippi friend of mine had a roach go right up his hooter. Anyway. Ants are breeding inside a girl's ear. She's 12 years old. She's from India, and they have had more than 1,000 ants removed from her ears since August.
There's gotta be something that they can do, right? I mean, 4 months of this?
I know. I feel terrible for her. Like, what can you do? Anyway, doctors say the ants are nested in Sharia Dari's eardrum canal. And that around 10 live ants crawl out of her ears every day. Despite numerous attempts, doctors have been unable to keep the ants from breeding inside of her ears. She's not experiencing any pain, even though doctors say the ants are biting her. They have found no damage to her eardrums, and they've never seen anything like this in their medical history. Why they can't freaking take care of this, I don't know.
FYI, we've completely lost the chat room. Everybody has left.
Nobody wants to be here.
Yeah.
The chat is up. Look at them all. La, 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 la. See y'all tomorrow. All right. That's all I'll say. But the poor girl, you know, somebody help her. She's 12. She needs a
they put a little, like one of those circus tents over her ear and gas them? Like,
I thought you were going to say, can they make a little ant circus for some reason in my head? Like, you know, a flea circus kind of thing. But yeah.
Yeah.
Put one of those things on there. Have Walter and Jesse sneak in and make meth all night and then take it off, and then no one will be the wiser.
Perfect. Yeah. That'll clear them all out. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Now, the reason there's no text for this next one is because this is one of those sites it wouldn't copy from. This is from
Boston. I know. Well, plus I apparently need to see a photo of this thing.
Yeah. Boston.com is the site, and it's super slow and janky, and it's a terrible website. However, I'm going to read it anyway. A man protests the Vermont town government with massive $4,000 middle finger sculpture. Just a giant bird.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's blurred out in this video, so I can't see it.
Yeah, they don't want to show people. All right, so here's the deal. He's got this long-running dispute. We'll try to find a real one here. Yeah. Some website somewhere had to be brave enough to put it up there. But he has this dispute with town officials over whether he can develop his property and move his truck repair and recycling business to his home. Okay? A lot of people have these kind of deals with local municipalities, blah, blah, blah. Comptroller just isn't budging, sort of thing. Anyway, Pelkey is his name, says he hopes his sculpture encourages others to take a long look at who's running this town. Records from last year show officials had concerns over how the development would be used. In response, he built a $4,000 giant bird. Now, there's got to be a picture of it. Do you have a photo?
I'll put it. Yeah, I'll put it in the chat room.
All right. Thank you for that.
NSFW chat room, by the way.
Yeah. Take a look at this. Is this the guy? That's the guy, look at that bird, dude.
That's a great sculpture too.
It's pretty good. I mean, you can't beat it. And look at him. He's some nice neighbor guy. Like, well, yeah. don't mind me. I'm just making a giant bird to tell the city to F off. That's pretty great. Anyway, I thought that story was too good to miss.
I don't want to 3D print that.
In a less free country, they would have had him locked up and in prison, descent prison by now.
That's right.
Yeah. He's us. We are him. He is us.
In other news, the 300-pound woman from Florida was seen looking at that finger going,
I could sit there, she says. T-Tech 22 says that bird is lit. I agree. That bird is lit.
Ah, well done.
It's
yes.
Literally lit. And also figuratively lit.
Figuratively.
Got another story here about Burger King.
Okay.
When was the last time you went to Burger King? I had a bad experience last time I went. How's that going for you?
I haven't been to a Burger King probably in 6 months.
Oh, okay. It's not too bad. We have this local one. I think I told you about it. I got there. Did I tell you about this? They said, hey, do you want to try the new triple blueberry something? What are they called? Icy thing? Like a...
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. One of their drinks. Sure.
Yeah, and it wasn't in the pump. It wasn't in the out, go self-serve yourself. It was something in the back room, and she says, oh, you got to try it. It's brand new. We don't have it out there yet, but here, try it.
Uh-huh.
So she brings it to me, and it is the most blue thing you've ever seen. I drank that whole thing, and I pooped blue for 4.5 days. 4.5
that
days.
That does seem like that is Burger King's current MO is our food may not be good, but it'll color your poop.
Yeah, that's their thing with their black burger buns and all that.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Anyway, had purple poopy for a while there. Anyway, they have
party
a new...
going in, party coming out.
I would never not recommend it, actually. Just don't go eat it. It shouldn't take that long to get out of your system. It was mostly food coloring, but anyway.
I've got to say, the amount of trust that you had in them recommending a thing that is neither on the menu nor like prepared out in the open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's not normally something I do. I think it was because she was really affable and nice. And I think that won me over. That's how you get me. You want to fool me, have somebody nice present something terrible, and I'm your man. Burger King has a new penny whopper deal, but you have to go to McDonald's first. This is weird.
All right.
Few things are more ingrained into the minds and stomachs of fast food fans than McDonald's selling Big Macs and Burger King being the home of the Whopper. For 9 days, this widely known truth will be turned on its head. Tuesday through December 12th, so as of yesterday through the 12th, mm-hmm. Burger King is selling its iconic burger for a penny at McDonald's in a promotion called the Whopper Detour.
Okay.
So here's the deal. I'm gonna squish that dog
or die. And she looks at me like, oh, you kicked me, I'm gonna go in the other room.
I can't believe how mean you are.
I know, exactly.
Dogs do that. They don't, there's the subtlety is totally lost on them. They don't get that it's them that's doing exactly. It anyway, says here, you can't have your way at McDonald's. You need to be close to a location to get one of these Burger King deals. The promotion is part of Burger King's relaunched BK app, so it's an app thing which now offers the ability to place orders in advance for participating locations. The promotion works by geofencing McDonald's locations around the country. Burger King said in a statement, if a guest is inside one of these geofenced areas and has the new BK app on their phone, the app will unlock the Whopper sandwich for a penny. So if I'm at a McDonald's, I open up the BK app, it goes, bling, congratulations.
And you place your order for a Whopper and you go pick it up?
And you go pick it up.
Oh, I like this, actually.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it just to see it. I just want to go through the process. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me see. Just out of curiosity.
It only goes to the 12th, so you gotta get going on it. I'm gonna write this. I'm gonna get the app as well because I don't have it.
A Burger King Whopper. Wow, it's like all Whoppers malted milk balls in here. Let's go Burger King. Burger King Whopper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be 21 points, which would be 2/3 of what I get in a day. No, a little under half of what I get in a day. So basically, I'm eating veggies for the whole rest of the day. And mind you, no fries.
Yeah, of course.
With that, of course.
You're killing it with that. I'm embarrassed how bad I am at following my stuff.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when I go back day after tomorrow for my weigh-in and see if this week I've been better than last week. Because remember, I went up a pound last week. So. Right.
And Justine Bateman will be there again to weigh in.
Justine Bateman will be there to weigh me in.
Sweet.
Alex!
Dad!
She didn't really have a a line, you know, like a notable line like Alex did.
She was always complaining that Alex was pissing her off, though. Mm-hmm. But that's not the same as having a line, I don't think.
No, no.
I just got a text from Chris Metzen that says, this is so dumb. Okay, I just got a Metzen question or a text says, how's things, Grandpa? He probably saw Taylor's picture.
Nice.
I put up a pregnant Taylor picture on Facebook. He's probably doing it.
Oh, yeah.
He's teasing me. We're like roughly the same age, and he likes to remind me.
The fact that...
I'm about to go to the next level.
Oh, good. Tina's back, so Daisy is gone.
Yay.
Hey, by the way, I figured out what I'm going to do with my Russian nesting doll.
Mm. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Because I was trying to come up with an idea, and people had great ideas about like doing a Stan Lee for the outside and then doing a bunch of characters that he created on the inside or co-created.
I like that.
Another person suggested like the evolution of a Pokemon. So do like, Pichu turning into a Pikachu, turning into a Raichu. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing Die Hard. It's going to be John McClane on the outside.
Yeah.
And then Hans Gruber in the second spot. And then, the cop, Al, in the second one.
Oh, that sounds so awesome.
That sound. I know, I'm going to have to oil my Russian nesting doll.
Bring all the boys to the yard.
The very inside one. And then I'm trying to decide if I'm going to do Carl as one of those or Bubby, you know, what's his face?
You got to have him holding a Coke, you know?
Right.
Back, looking all smarmy, like he's not going to get a gun to the head.
Like holding the phone.
Yeah. You should put the detonators in the end one. Just pick up
Icor just said that too. I think the center one is going to be the dude with the Santa hat that says, now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. That's going to be the center guys, the gray sweatshirt terrorist.
When do you
Marco?
Put,
was that Marco?
Yeah, it's Marco. When do you put the, he was the brother that the Amish guy got pissed about being killed, right? Wasn't that the brother?
Yes.
The ho 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 guy, yeah. So are you putting the cop in there, right?
Yeah, Al's gonna be third. So
okay.
It's
you said third. Okay.
Yeah. McClane, Gruber, then Al, then there's five. So I think Carl will be the next one.
I like it. I like where you're coming from on this. That's good. Yeah. Are you gonna watch Die Hard this year for Christmas? Just as a little,
Tina took me to the 30th anniversary for our mystery date in November, so I've seen it fairly freshly.
That's right.
Yes,
there are people around me the other day at the family get together that were all complaining that I even remotely think it's a Christmas movie, and I'm like, it is. It's got Christmas music in it. It happens during Christmas. It's a heroic Christmas tale of grand proportions.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's like saying, all right, is Home Alone not a Christmas movie, or is because it takes place at Christmas, right?
Yeah, it's totally a Christmas movie, and there's Christmas music movie. In it, and so it's also Die Hard has Christmas music. Like, there's no argument here. It's freaking Christmas movie. Ow! I just flung my hand into a thing. That hurt.
I figured since I've waxed Tony and Marco and his friend here, I figured you and Carl and Franco might be a little lonely, so I wanted to give you a call.
Oh, it's a big Christmas call. I like it. All right, we're going to take
Tony,
a break.
Either Tony or Marco is the one on the chair.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for Tom's Tech Time, and we will do recommendals without Nicole, but still in, you know, in the spirit of Nicole, we'll still be doing it. So that's all coming up next. Before that, though, a song with Brian.
That's correct. Here's our Indie in the Middle, which is a recommendation by Seth Cranford, who let me know. He says, a guy I've been following around the internet for a while just put out an EP for his project, The Farewell Friend, and I can't get enough of it right now. His real name is Sam Tabor, and he's based out of Ohio. The EP is called About Time, and the song I'd like to suggest is called Inside. And the he sent me the direct message chain that they've been going back and forth, and they said, oh yeah, we'd love to hear this on a podcast. So going out to Seth Cranford, and The Farewell Friend is the name of the artist. Here is the song Inside.
Worst of me, it chimes and whistles through years. Smell the colors that cover me. Will you lay with me beside? Stare at shapes we're imagining, and though I can't see your eyes, I can feel your gaze meeting me.
Hey, you guys, let's talk about, I don't know, something a lot of people don't like to talk about publicly, but it's okay. It's okay to do it. Remember those days when you were ready to go, guys? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. So listen up, BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. They bring you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity shows up. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's, again, BlueChew.com with promo code TMS to try it for free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring today's show.
You youngsters can save yourselves a lot of pain if you just stop and think.
This is called tripping.
Go f*** a refrigerator, Peckerneck. This is the Morning Stream.
You know, I made that little song intermission thing. I made that.
Did you really? That's a Scott Johnson original
right
there?
That's a Scott Johnson original. I threw a bunch of samples together and some beats and made a thing. Because everybody, including YouTube, is like, sorry, this is copyrighted material, even though I don't think it is. Yeah. So I made my own. Good. That's what you got to do. If you can't get it out there how you need it, you make your freaking own. That's what you do.
That's right.
All right. We're back to it. And just about to be not meritless anymore. We're going to have some merit.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I hate it when we're not meritless.
I agree. Wait, no, we like...
I hate it when we're meritless.
Yes, there you go.
That's what I hate, yes.
We prefer it over not having it, is what we're trying to say.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is the internet's own, and now our own, because it's Wednesdays. It's Wednesday.
All yours.
It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Hi. What's up, Scott and Brian?
Oh, man.
Hello.
Just sitting here pontificating about what life would be like if we didn't have Tom here on Wednesdays. That's all. That's all we're doing. We like having you here.
I would be sadder if I weren't here on Wednesdays.
Oh, see, look, at this is the most, this is a love fest. We're all just in a circle.
It sure is.
Holding hands. It's the best.
Kumbaya.
Hands across America.
That's right.
Well, at least the western half.
Yeah, good point. All right. Hey, having Tom here is always a treat because we get to talk about technology. That is his foray, really, his main thrust in this world. And because of that, we always get some good news on Wednesday mornings. Hopefully good
forte,
news. Yeah, right. It's your forte. It's your Will Forte. Got it. Tom, what's happening in the world of technology today as we prepare for the Daily Tech News Show?
Well, we've got a bunch of good stuff coming up on the show later today, but I thought something of interest to the TMS audience might be something we mentioned yesterday, if you didn't catch yesterday's DTNS. Drones. Mm. Drones are crazy. Now, did you guys talk about the fact that it was 5 years ago, December 1st, that 60 Minutes did that cool Amazon's going to deliver packages by drone to you?
Oh.
Within the next 4 or 5 years? Yeah.
It was 5 years ago that they said within 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize that was that long ago. I did a comic that, right around now, because it would have been Christmas, of Santa Claus being pissed that there was flying next to him a drone that said Amazon carrying a package, and he was all grumpy about it.
I remember that.
And that was about 5 years ago. So are you telling me now that everything I'm going to get from here on out is on a drone somehow?
Possibly, but not from Amazon by the looks of it. Amazon's still developing this, but they haven't implemented it anywhere. My bet would have been that because of U.S. regulatory drag, the FAA is very slow on wanting to go forward with any kind of unmanned aerial vehicle stuff, that Amazon might have done this in the U.K., and they did some tests in the U.K., mm-hmm. but they're not doing service. However, there is service. Alphabet has been testing service in southeastern Australia. It's Wing. Alphabet owns Google. They also own a company called Wing. The Wing drone delivery service has been being tested, delivering things like food and drinks and medicine and household items from small businesses. Mm. They're going to launch that service in Helsinki, Finland this spring.
Mm.
So free delivery, at least in the test phase, of things up to 1.5 kilograms, anywhere for up to 10 kilometers within 10 minutes.
Wow. Really? That's pretty good. I mean, but we're not, this isn't, I mean, okay, the news people with their 4 or 5 years, they weren't right about how mainstream it would be, because this still feels like it's in.
Well, hold on. The news people being Charlie Rose, doing essentially a video press release for Amazon, quoted Jeff Bezos saying, "Yeah, within 4 or 5 years, we're going to be doing this." He was wrong. Mm-hmm. They are not. Right. But actual drone delivery has been going on in lots of areas of the world. Wing is doing it in two places. Also, Zipline has been delivering medical supplies, mostly blood for blood tests and blood donations. In Rwanda and Tanzania, and got real close to signing a deal with Ghana to do the same thing, although Ghana's parliament has now delayed that while they make some more regulatory investigations, but it's possible they'll now have three countries. My point being, Amazon leveraged its power to get a nice little piece on 60 Minutes that raised people's expectations above what they should have been, now to have them be more skeptical because, hey, you didn't deliver it. But meanwhile, all the time in the background, virtually uncovered, were these other companies that have been actually doing it.
Yeah, as always, it feels like that. Hey, how long do you think it is before Tom Merritt in LA can order a thing and it'll be by drone? Just give us a prediction. You think we're
10 years.
Okay, 10 years. Interesting. I mean, that's how I feel,
especially because it's the U.S., right? Yeah. If I wasn't in the U.S., maybe I'd be a little more optimistic. But the FAA goes very slow on these things. So it's good. We're going to get it last.
Yeah.
We're not going to get it first. And if I'm in southeastern Australia, I can say today. If I'm in Helsinki, Finland, I can say spring. Mm. So, this is definitely happening. But because it's not happening in the United States from one of the big five companies, nobody's covering it.
Right.
And I think that's a shame.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, drone delivery, it'll never happen. I even read a story about the Amazon anniversary from the AP. They're the ones who give the AP credit, actually followed up and were like, hey, they told us 5 years. Guess what? It's not here. Yeah. That said, and no drone delivery is happening. They totally missed Zipline and the actual medical deliveries that are happening in two countries in Africa. But, oh, well, that's Africa. Oh, well, that's a small company. I feel like that's a shame.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it is a shame. Let's have it sooner than 10 years. You know what? Let's take Tom's.
This should be top line news. Like, hey, the drone delivery is happening. It's happening in these countries. Oh, well, but it's not the U.S. Oh, yeah. But it's not from Amazon or Google or Facebook. So. Yeah.
Kind of how we do it here, though. We're weird.
That's how we talk here.
Yeah.
I don't know if the college, there's the college in, it might even be MIT, but that had drone delivery of pizzas. Like the Domino's worked with the college to deliver pizzas via drone.
Yeah, where was
so,
that?
Yeah, and there are a bunch of examples of private land situations,
yeah.
You know, where you're not near an airport. Even then, though, you risk being afoul of the FAA, of that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, you don't want to get fined because your pizza was in the wrong airspace. And
yeah,
we got a lot of that crap to deal with here.
I can understand drones, you know, not being able to avoid flying low enough that they avoid like airplanes and helicopters and things like that. What about other drones? Like, is there going to be a way that my Amazon drone is going to crash into my eBay drone? Or,
well, I mean, that's something that UAVs have right now is collision avoidance. It's appearing on a lot of them where they can see that there's something else and avoid it. But that system is certainly nascent. It's, at the point where this becomes common, there's going to have to be a lot of work done to avoid that sort of thing.
You know, I didn't think about this yesterday when we were talking about it. We had that story on Current Geek about the two electrode flying vehicle thing.
Yeah, the twin ion electrodes.
Yeah.
TIE.
The TIE fighter. Oh, so I've let
fire,
it loose.
Fire.
Fire. Fire. But the why couldn't those be, that technology feels super leverageable towards something like delivery systems to me, because it's small.
I mean, even if they can't get up to passenger planes, you're right. Like you could do small things like a drone, like a UAV. That seems achievable anyway.
Yeah, it does. I like things that are achievable. This 10 years out thing sucks. So come on, America.
Hey, you know what's achievable?
What's that?
Things that are already being done, like drone deliveries in five countries.
Yeah, that seems, if you're gonna...
so easy to achieve those things that have already been achieved.
It's funny that there's a block on realizing this, because you're like, oh, well, but it's not in the U.S. Oh, well, but it's not in Europe. Oh, well, now it's in Europe, right? It's a big deal. It's in Europe. But it's not from a company I know. So it must be a crock, right? I think we're so inundated with the amount of clickbait and if not outright fake news, sort of, news that ends up not being what it promised to be in the headline, that we resist this stuff even when it's real. Sometimes, like, it's the opposite end of the stick. Sometimes we're too ready to believe something because of a headline. Other times we're like, oh, well, it can't be as good as that sounds.
Right. And I don't like that thinking either. I don't know why we get caught up in that. I actually, here's the thing I'll admit to. I feel that tendency when stuff like that comes up. Like, I feel the like, if somebody came up to me and said, oh my gosh, you see they're doing, you know, out of context with our conversation here, but if somebody said they're doing drone deliveries in Africa, did you hear about that? I'd go, Africa. I mean, my head says that first.
Right, right. It's a bias.
Yeah, and it's not good. It's an unhealthy thing that we all should recognize and then try to not do that. You don't have to, we don't have to be the first at everything. Like, when people will go, Tesla, you know, came up with whatever first, there's like this weird friction competition of, well, no, I think it was so-and-so. Well, the first TV was made here in America. Well, actually, French inventor, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, that can't
be. Or Scotland. Or, yeah.
Yeah, it's annoying. And we got to stop doing that, man.
Well, and here's the thing. We don't have to lose pride in your homeland to do it. And you don't have to feel guilty. Bias is common. Every human has it. Mm-hmm. Don't feel bad that you had a bias. Feel bad if you don't do anything about it, if you don't try to recognize it.
Right. Look at this. This is self-help and technology that we got going here.
Am I treading on Wendy's territory?
No, smarter on this. I think what you're saying is one day Wendy could write a book and it would be delivered to your home by a drone is what you're saying.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I would love that.
That would be pretty good. All right. Well,
you guys' books would both be delivered to each other's houses.
What the crap?
That's amazing. And at least I'll be better off for reading Wendy's book.
That's right.
I don't know about her.
And she'll also have Veronica read the audio version. It'll be amazing.
Yay.
All right. Well, this is all well and good. Today at 2:30 Mountain Time will be the Daily Tech News Show. It's my day. It's Wednesdays. I love being on. Can't wait for more. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. I have a couple of things I want to say about the iPhone XR or 10R. Whether we do that on that show, I don't know. Maybe pre-show or during the
We'll definitely talk about it at some point.
Yeah, because I have some thoughts. Anyway, that's it. Tom Merritt. Give us a plug. You got something going on. What's going on?
Yeah, as you mentioned, Veronica Belmont reads the audiobook Gallium, available at audible.com right now. You can have Veronica in your ears reading my words. It's a story about Maya, a salvager in a mined out solar system where the corporation that mined it out is long gone, but still sort of trying to protect its history. And when Maya discovers a not only historical object, but controversial object, they try to shut her down. Sounds like an interesting story. Go check it out. Gallium, G-A-L-L-I-U-M, wherever fine books are sold, or you can go right to the Amazon page at tomsnewbook.com.
Awesome. Go check it out, you guys. Tom, we'll see you later. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I haven't had any good recent accidental voicemails. I miss those. I don't get them anymore.
I know. I wish. I'm very afraid that something happened to the hybridum lady.
Yeah. She didn't sound like she was a spring chicken or anything. Mm-hmm. Not that she may not be dead. We're making that up. Real quick here, I have a thing I want to play, and I want you to tell me if you think you can hear anything here. So my kids, while Kim and I were out with friends the other night talking about Nazi stuff, my kids were at home. Let's see, where is it? Did I save it here? Post on Twitter? No, that's not it. Hold on, Therapy Thursday. Where is this? Oh, shoot, I really want to play this so you can... Did I not capture it? Anyways, for my security stuff, I don't know what I did with it. Place this, play on this on. Yeah, I don't know what I did with it. Crap. But okay, I'll find them and I'll do it tomorrow. But basically, my security cameras were alerting me there was movement, and I'd forgotten I had notifications on. So I went to check it. It was just the kids getting home and walking around the house. But I want to see if you can help me translate what they said. So I'm going to do total dad espionage. Because I'm not sure.
Okay.
It was super muffly, and I just kind of want to. I just want to see. You know, when Dad's not around, what's going on? So we're gonna have a little fun with that tomorrow.
Papers.
Yeah. I love that idea. Well, I don't love the idea, but it would be really funny.
But it'd be something like that, especially if they knew.
Yeah.
That you were gonna spy on them.
My rolling papers. It's fantastic. All right, recommendals time. And yes, to celebrate it, we'll play. We'll play something different because Nicole's not here. We'll play. Let's see. No, that's dumb. Let's do. Here we go. How about this? Those are Hollywood punch sounds.
Mm. Ouch.
Yeah, let's do it again. Yeah, those are good.
Oh,
it's pretty good.
Watermelon never felt the same afterwards.
No. So Brian and I, we're going to do recommendals today. We talk about stuff streaming on services. Nicole had an appointment, so she couldn't be here, but we're going to carry on in her stead. Brian always starts. You have a clip. Do you have any setup for this clip?
It's going to be a weird thing for people to hear me recommending a documentary, but that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Oh, well, so we're similar.
That's your hint.
We're similar today. Let's play your clip. Here we go.
Well, that I might say was the game of my life. When the police did finally arrive, they found a windowless room, a corpse on the floor, the door still locked from the outside, and no one there but him and me, a classic locked room mystery. But where is the murder weapon? They search, but they can't find it anywhere. Oh, where can it be? Hey, don't look at me. I'm just playing solitaire.
I have no idea.
Do you recognize the voice?
No. Is that Ricky Jay?
That's exactly who that is.
Yeah, oh, it is Ricky Jay. Okay.
Who is awesome and easily my favorite magician, and not because of his magic, which, you know, he's really talented and the dude can do with a deck of cards what celebrity chefs can do with an avocado.
Right.
But it's because of his delivery, and I would go see, you know, I'd watch anything that he's in. He was fantastic in Magnolia. Mm-hmm. He was in an episode of The X-Files. He's been in a bunch of great stuff.
Really good on Deadwood. I'm sad he won't be part of the movie.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
And did just pass away at the end of November, November 24th, mm-hmm. passed away. This is a documentary that came out back in 2012 directed. Oh, I thought it was directed by Mamet, David Mamet, but it's not. He's just frequently in David Mamet films.
Is that, I always thought it was Mamet, but I don't know.
I always thought Mamet too.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a documentary called Deceptive Practice, The Mysteries and Mentors of Ricky Jay. It came out in 2012 and is a focus on the performances that he did, the live performances that he did or performance that he did that was directed by David Mamet, and it was or David Mamet. Now I'm second guessing myself. David Mamet, but he did this thing called the 52 Apprentices and Ricky Jay, I think it's called, or Ricky Jay and the 52 Apprentices. Something. It's one of those two. But it's also got clips from his appearances on like the Dinah Shore Show with Steve Martin and. David Letterman and is that it? Ricky Jay and his 52 assistants. Mm. That's what it is. Mm. It's just so cool. So many great people kind of making these appearances in there. Dick Cavett and Steve Martin and Al Hirschfeld, the character artist.
Oh, the New Yorker guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Who yeah. I never knew what he looked like.
I've never seen him either. I know I always followed his cartoons because he would put his daughter's name in there.
Yes, Nina, all over the place. You'd have to, and he'd put the number of how many Ninas there were hidden in there in his signature, and so you'd have to.
I love that.
Find all the Ninas. Yeah. Anyway, it is streaming on Amazon Prime. I was going to tell you that it was a 99-cent rental on iTunes because that's what I paid for it, but for whatever reason, and maybe this just happened since we've watched it, it has become a free Amazon Prime video, so can watch it for free there.
No, that's great. Free is good. Always free is always good. Yeah, Ricky Jay is awesome. Been in a few movies that I remember him just being completely memorable in. What was the one with the big wiener in it?
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. Yeah, he was great in Boogie Nights.
Of course, yeah.
He was like a producer with what's his name?
Mamet is what people are saying. So it is David Mamet.
So it is Mamet. Yeah, that's what I always thought. Yep. But I've heard others people say Mamet and
putting emphasis on the Mamet.
Mamet emphasis. Yeah.
Mum. Is it Mum or Mamet?
Mamet.
Is it Mamet or Mamet?
It's Mamet. If you're in Britain, though, it comes out as just Mumnet.
Mumnet.
Yeah. I like David Mumnet. All right. Here's my clip. And it's also a documentary.
Cool.
Brand new on Netflix. And I really enjoyed it. I think you would too, given your proclivities toward music and specifically this musician. So here it is. Check it out.
It's rather hard to describe Johnny Cash. The music that he represents is called country music, but I think it's really American music. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Cash.
Johnny loved America. He was one of the most patriotic men I've ever known.
By the late 60s, Johnny's star rises, as does Mr. Nixon's.
Okay, so...
All right, so clearly it's a documentary about Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Clearly, yeah. Clearly.
And Waylon Jennings, a little bit.
Right.
So it's called Tricky Dick and the Man in Black. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, it's about this invitation. It all sort of centers on this invitation that Richard Nixon extended to Johnny Cash to come perform at the White House, some special White House gathering dinner thing. And it was all set up. And they talked to like former aides, including of Nixon's, including what's his name that was like his campaign manager and then later ran for president. What's his name? Oh, geez. I forgot his name. He's I kind of can't stand him, but it was interesting to get his take on all this because he was there for it. And so he could tell you exactly what the president was thinking with a lot of this. And the idea was Nixon wanted to appeal to Southern Democrats. He wanted to appeal to sort of middle America, country singing lover, people like that. Mm-hmm. And he thought, well, what better way to do this than to get Johnny Cash to come perform? And he underestimated a part of Johnny Cash that he thought wouldn't be there. He figured he was just going to be traditional values, law and order, you know, all the stuff that Dick Nixon was all about, and nothing to do with the youth movement, nothing to do with hippies, nothing to do with anti-war stuff. Like, he just figured Johnny Cash is the perfect guy to come sing about that and not care about this other stuff that was driving Nixon crazy. And
Pat Buchanan, by the way.
Pat Buchanan, that's it.
Yeah, Bagheera 74 and he's taking the chat room.
So he comes, so the whole thing just centers around Johnny Cash's progress through the late 50s all the way up through the 70s and him learning more about the plight of the Native Americans and what happened on Wounded Knee and the other one, the more modern standoff, whatever it was. Maybe it was Wounded Knee. Anyway, that stuff. He went to Vietnam, spent time in combat zones, hung around with some of the soldiers, learned what it was like to be on the ground there, and kind of got a feel for what those soldiers were feeling like in a war that was very, very unpopular and that was in a lot of ways, you know, being propped up by sort of lies and, you know, Richard Nixon's desire to look strong and all of that. And so Nixon underestimated it. He screwed up. He miscalculated. So when he came on there, and I don't want to give anything away and I don't think I am, but when he came to actually do the performance, he didn't play any of Nixon's requests. And he sang one song that was all about paying attention to the youth. What is truth? You know, peace matters. You can be a good American and have free speech. Like, all a really interesting thing for him to do. And he generally doesn't have any. A lot of the movie spends time on how patriotic he was. That trailer even talks about it. His sisters and his brothers and his son all talk about it. Very patriotic. Really not a party favorite. He doesn't really go. He's not conservative. He's not liberal. He doesn't care about that. He cares about respect the office. He was in the Navy or the Air Force. He is all about, you know, respect the troops, respect this, respect that. Doesn't matter where you come from or who you support, respect them all. And how that all played into this moment. And I found it fascinating. There's also some really great music and stuff. It's a really interesting look at that. Johnny Cash was much more. He was way more and still is way more than a country singer. Like his appeal extends
He's not, but
well, not now, but even like his last album he did with all those, modern stuff. So
the
good.
Unearth stuff. I mean, the Man Comes Around. It's
his version of Hurt is amazing. Like he had an ability to speak to lots of people in a way that was much more far reaching than just simply, hey, it's a country star. And this just deals with that in a way that's very interesting. The only complaint I have is it ends very abruptly, and I don't know why. They kind of get to the real meat of the thing. They finally kind of get there. It's great. They dissect all of that. They talk about how shortly after that the president resigned because the Watergate thing all came out and proceeded in the way it proceeded. and what he kind of felt like that all the way up to his death, and kind of where Johnny Cash's head was at during all that time, and blah, 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 blah. But right when they get to the crux of it, it just kind of ends. Like, literally just like, my dad was great, says his son or something, and then that's the end of the thing.
And then fade to black.
Roll credits. Really? Yeah, I don't know why it felt that way to me. Someone else needs to watch it and tell me you think I'm crazy. It just felt like it really got... Huh. Really good. It was like they were in the editing room going, okay, this is going good. And then someone went,
we've run out of material. All right, bend it.
Hey, guys, I need the room. Like that. That's how it felt. Like somebody was knocking to get him out of there. So I don't know why that happened, but it's a Netflix original. It's on Netflix right now. And I thought it was really good and really well made.
What's it called? Tricky Dick and the Man in Black?
Yes. Tricky Dick and the Man in Black.
I wish they would have just gone Cash Nixon.
Or Nixon Cash.
The slash between. Yeah,
that would have been all right. Like Frost Nixon. Yeah. I get where you're coming
from. Like
Frost
Nixon, exactly. Yep.
That's a great movie.
It is really good. Yeah.
It may be my favorite. If you pin me down and says, tell me your favorite Ron Howard movie, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's some of his best work. I've never seen A Beautiful Mind, which I know is embarrassing.
It's very good.
I'm sure it's very good, but I just never got around to it. All right. Well, there's your recommendations. Nicole will probably still put these up on her Twitter feed at Nicole Spag, so you can follow her there.
Hope.
Yeah. I mean, one can hope. Can't we? Can't one can hope? One? Can one hope?
We can hope. We can only hope,
right.
Scott.
Mashup.
Nicole, you're our only hope.
Let's do a mashup. Here is, let's see. Oh, it's a bonus mashup for October 2018. Do you want to hear that?
Oh, this is the one that we were supposed to give out to our patrons in October.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think maybe we should tell this one. All right. Here goes. Sorry, everybody. You're getting it now. And now. Oh, you know what? Never mind. That's 8 minutes long. We're not playing that one. We're going to still, you know what we'll do? We'll still stick it in the, we'll put it in the Patreon. Patreon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. What so are we patrons, thinking? You'll get the, wow. Dangle that carrot and then rip it right out of their hands.
Yeah, you don't get it yet there, folks. All right. Sorry about that, Jamie. It's all my fault. I screwed up timing on this stuff.
Give them the taste. Give them like the first minute. And then we've got a minute long mashup we can play and then to get the other 7 minutes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay, hold on. Okay, here it is. Here's the first taste of it. And now, TMS Mashups presents On This Day in History on the Morning Stream.
So, I mean, you could easily just stick your hand down your pants and grab it and pull it out without having to unzip and remove.
It's true. 2011.
All right, well, the iPhone 4S is out. Pre-orders go up on Friday. That was the big Apple announcement. No iPhone 5. It's just a 4S. The internet exploded with,
I can't believe they're not doing a 5. This is totally weird. What's going on?
Like, no, it's not. This is the same pattern they've always done, and people said, well, the pattern technically didn't start till tomorrow. While that is true, you could see it coming, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, the first iPhone, fine. That came out. That did its thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. 3 comes out. 3GS then comes out. Faster, better.
And it's just got more features. I mean, they added personal assistant, but like the voice activated dialing stuff in the 3G.
Right. A few things the 3G wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And that's how they did that. But same body, same style, a lot faster.
All right. That's all you get. There's a big, I'm sure there's a giant punchline at the end of that, but that's all you get.
Right. Exactly. Like, here's iPhone news from 2011. Yeah. Hey.
That's really weird to hear all that. But we'll put that whole thing up on the Patreon soon.
Very cool.
All right. Now I'm going to play a real one. This is called Pokemon Poo Bag. This is a story from 2014, so no idea what this is. I'm nervous. Here goes. I haven't heard it. Here it is.
Once again, pull up a chair as Scott and Brian share a story by the fire. What will they talk about today?
Got a story I need some help with. Some further proof that I am either a magnet for this or I am unlucky.
Okay.
Walking the dog. This is yesterday. It's kind of dusky night, you know, dark, getting dark. So I'm walking the dog and there's a guy on the other side of this kind of strip park. It's a small park that's kind of more long than it is wide. And he's on the sidewalk on the other side of it and there are trees between us. So he's over there. I'm looking at him to just, you know, you acknowledge other people. Oh, hey, how's it going kind of thing. Kind of like your awkward silence up the tram idea, right? Same idea. So this guy, he's got a bag of poo like I do. I've got a bag of dog poo, right? Okay. Daisy is just gone. I'm holding a little pink bag of tied together dog poo. But this guy, when I look over, looks at me, raises his poo bag and yells, Pokemon! He yelled Pokemon.
Are you sure he yelled Pokemon?
Clear as day, he said the word Pokemon. I am 100% sure he yelled Pokemon.
My initial thought is that he's kind of making the joke like you gotta catch them all.
Oh, maybe that was it. I hadn't even considered that. That's a great explanation. Like he's joking around.
But it's such a long way to get there. I mean, it's a long way to get there. It's a big assumption on your part that you know the Pokemon slogan.
This is a thing you would say if I knew the guy, like we're regular acquaintances. Man, maybe he was and I just didn't recognize him. This is totally possible. I don't know. I just, these things happen and I go, who am I? What am I doing here? How did that guy say that? Why is that happening to me? And then I have no reaction to these things. He says that and I'm just like, okay.
Did you wave back or anything like that?
I waved. I mean, I kind of just went, hand
Yu-Gi-Oh!
up. I'm more of a Voltron man myself. I'm a little older than that. But he looked like my age, you know, late 30s, early 40s, something like that. I don't know.
Well, see, between this and fart gas and weird gas stuff that you hear in the food drive-thru and stuff, when was the last time you got your hearing checked? Just saying.
You're starting to hear or see a pattern here.
Maybe it's not everybody else.
It's entirely possible. You know, Raylan Givens on the fantastic show Justified once said, if you meet, if you're walking around, and I can't remember the words. You're walking around in the day and you meet one asshole, then he's the asshole. It says, if you spend all day talking to nothing but assholes, you're the asshole. Meaning, you know, it's possible. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, anyone listening in their car with their kids, but yes, you get it. It's a lot of a-holes in one, you know, 20-second period there. All right, that's it for that. If you have a theory, though, we're accepting all comers. So you let me know.
I don't remember that story, but now it's all, I mean, it rang a bell as soon as they yelled the Pokemon. I was thinking it must have something to do with Pokemon Go, but that was 2016, wasn't it?
That was exactly, that came out 2 years before. Your story might have been the thing that gave Niantic the idea of an augmented reality Pokemon game you could play in the park.
I'm pretty sure there's a clip, and Jamie, he's probably not here, but if you know where this is, Jamie, send it, because I think we've played it before. But I think we did actually predict Pokemon Go years before it happened. I think we were just saying, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you could take your phone outside? I think we were just saying, hey, Nintendo should make one where you do that. And I think that happened. Pretty sure we predicted Pokemon
Go.
Sounds
familiar. Yeah.
But I'm not going to take credit for it. Neither will you, and none of us will. Niantic, well done. Good job working with the Pokemon Company and Nintendo. Put your bum where your mouth is. All right.
That's right. PvP is finally coming to the game, too.
Oh, my gosh. This is all these years later.
PvP. Exactly. 2.5 years since they promised PvP.
Yeah.
And since they showed it in that initial commercial.
And how will that work? Like, it'll work just like Pokemon head-to-head battles, right? Like, you'll have your three.
No, it'll be more like you're doing a live gym battle against another person doing a live gym. Like, basically, you're going up against their three Pokemon. Yeah. You're putting your three against their three, but you're still doing the tap 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 hold tap 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 tap, that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I have you saying that somewhere.
There's another callback for you.
Yeah. Let's see. Tap 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 tap. Hold on.
Tap 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 tap. Shit. That's the game the guy was playing in the park. Obviously.
That's right.
Tap 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 tap.
I have a few of these.
Tap 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 dodge. Tap 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 hold.
Why do I have so many of those? Isn't that funny?
That is really funny.
And they taper down, just like a man.
Okay, because he said tap.
What's he doing?
He said
tap. We haven't heard from Third Eagle in forever. We'll have to do a Third Eagle update this week.
Yeah, somebody said he did a live stream recently that's real good, so we should probably try to track that thing down.
I'm playing the game League of Legends.
This is a satanic
sign. You can watch me as I try and take the top. Path.
Exactly.
Phallic jacket.
Phallic jacket.
Phallic jacket.
Phallic
neckline.
Phallic neckline. Dude, that guy.
Shove them up your butts.
greatest hit. Third Eagle greatest hits.
Boy, and that's just for searching for the word tap. Because it got a lot of taply in there, see?
Oh, taply. Right.
Yeah.
That's funny that you have him in there under Tapley and not under
Most of them I have
Third Eagle.
Let's see, what did I do? Yeah, I need to fix that because a lot of them I do have is Third Eagle.
Yeah.
So when I'm searching for one, I'm only getting half. All right.
That's why we don't hear that shove them up your butts that often.
That's why we can't have nice things. All right.
That's right.
We're going to take our leave. Tomorrow is Thursday. So we'll do Therapy Thursday and all that.
We have a really good email I think we're going to tackle, even though I said we do calls again, but I think we're going to do this email.
Yeah.
Because Wendy sent it and she likes it. So we're going to do that tomorrow.
And if somebody can't be here live to ask their question, then this is a good way for them to get their question answered.
Yeah.
To send it via email. So.
Exactly. We'll still do those is the deal. We're pretty fluid and loose on that point. Anyway, so be here for that. If you enjoy the content we create, show us by heading on over to patreon.com/TMS. That's patreon.com/TMS. And put your money where your ears are. Unless they're ants in them, and don't bring your ants.
And you'll be able to hear the entire mashup that we teased a couple minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That and future ones as well, because we want to do more of those. All right. What else? TMS mashups. Big thanks to him for those. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You'll find everything there that you need. Send your emails to us at themorningstream@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. And you can even leave us voicemails, although I haven't checked them in a while, but I will. 801-471-0462 will leave us a voicemail. And we're done. Brian, would you like to take us out with a song of music?
I will do that. JP Wigan emailed in and said, "Hey there, streamers. My wonderful wife, Lisa, is celebrating her birthday on the 7th of December, a non-TMS show day, I know. What it technically isn't. We do a show on Fridays, but I do have something else coming up for Friday, so that's why I'm doing this now. I won't tell you her age, but she will be the same age as me, and I'm 53. Of course, that also means she's in her prime. Get it? 53, prime. It's I'll say it's a joke, son. It was because of her that we made it to the last two Utah Nerdtaculars. She's my favorite nerd. To honor her, would you please play a cover of any song from her favorite movie, The Big Chill? Lisa, you're the love of my life and my bestest friend. I am so enjoying the life we share. Always yours, signed JP." Aww.
That's awesome.
Super cool. JP, so the very first song you hear in the film also happens to coincide with the very brief cameo of Kevin Costner, who was originally going to have a lot more footage in the film, but ended up on the cutting room floor. And basically the only thing you see is them dressing his body because he's their dead friend that brings them all together. Mm-hmm. Heard it through the grapevine, originally done, believe it or not, by Smokey Robinson, the Miracles, not Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye had easily the biggest hit with it, but it was offered to Smokey Robinson, the Miracles. They recorded a version. And that's kind of the way Motown worked in those days is basically they tried out a song on several different performers and then you find the one that fits and that one becomes the big hit. But yeah, Smokey Robinson did it first. Marvin Gaye, of course, did it, most popularly, some would say best. Let's hear how Becky Bondage does it. Becky Bondage is a British lead singer of a band called the Vice Squad. She's been doing music for 40 years. I mean, she's been, almost 50 years. She's killing it. Mm. Is it really 50 years? Mm. 38, 40, 2008, 2018, 50 years.
Wow.
Congratulations, Becky Bondage. If that is your real name, here is her cover of, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. You'll find this on the album Cold Turkey from 2010.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. So come back then. We'll see you.
Two of those girls, you know I love you more.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Pretty sure my own group thought I was a big man.
Big man.
Big man.
I'm a big man now.